We look at John chapter 4. We're going to begin reading with the verse 39, and we'll be reading down through verse 45. John chapter 4, beginning to read with verse 39. Many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, "He told me all that ever I did." So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own words, and said unto the woman, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Now after 2 days he departed thence, and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet had no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I just ask that you'll give me the words to say, that they'll be spoken so clearly that the youngest to the oldest will understand. And being your living word, it will be applied to every one of our hearts according to the need. It's a joyous day, a glorious day, that we can come into your house, meet together as believers, and hear your word proclaimed and songs sung and specials played. And it's just an opportunity that we need not to take lightly, but take with the utmost seriousness to come to meet together. So please today, direct me as I share your word. Take the words that are said and apply it to our hearts. If it's for the need of salvation, as the city and the land of Samaria was in great need of salvation, there is always need, as folks are here that have never trusted in you. They have maybe been here for a long, long time or just a short period of time, but they just continue to listen and yet not hear what's really said. And I know, Father, that they're not hearing. If they would hear from you, I believe they would call upon you and come. But for one reason or another, the old devil has tricked them and deceived them and kept them away from the cross. And I ask today that that block be moved and they come to the cross of Calvary and are saved today. Please speak to all of our hearts as we go through these so few verses of Scripture today through your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. What a testimony is said here in this 39th verse, that many believe because of the sayings of the woman. We spoke much last week about the harvest, and the whole time was consumed about planting and harvesting and the preparation for the planting and the preparation for the harvest. And all these things are to be and need to be to take our time to look to the Word of God. We discussed that when you go out to work on the planter to prepare it, or you go out to work on the tractor to get it ready, or the combine to get it ready, we need to always have the tools. And if you don't have the tools, why then you're either improvising to make something work, but it's always best if you have the right tools, because if you have the right tools and right equipment, it's not long that you can get the equipment repaired and get it ready to go. And so when that planting time comes, that everything goes as smooth as possible, and there's again much preparation, and the same for the fall. And these last couple of verses of Scripture that we really didn't get to spend a lot of time in, I'm just going to read, and then because it comes right into the 39th verse there. And it says in verse 37, where is that saying true, that one soweth, another reapeth? I sent you to reap that wherein ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. You know, some plant, some harvest. We don't know when we go about the work of the Lord whether we're planting or harvesting. Different than farming, you use a different piece of equipment to plant than you do to harvest. But in harvesting souls or in planting the gospel, the same tools are used. And we need to see that we take the Word of God and open it up and have the necessary tools. Be prepared for whether it's the planting or the harvesting, because when you speak to a lost soul, you don't know whether someone else has planted and you're going to have the opportunity to harvest that soul for the Lord Jesus, or maybe you're the one that's planting the seed for the first time. But we need to know have the tools. We need to also be prepared for the work that's before us. And we find that if we sow, somebody else might reap. And if we do the reaping, somebody else may have carried out the planting. It doesn't matter, because God has a perfect accounting of all that goes on. And so if it seems like that you just continue to tell people about Jesus and no one is responding, don't be sad. Be excited, because who knows who is going to be doing the harvesting at some other time, maybe the following day, maybe years later, from something you said to someone. Finally, the Holy Spirit touched their heart and they were saved, because someone else went and says, do you need to be born again? Do you need to be saved? Have you ever trusted in Jesus as your Savior? What wonderful words to proclaim. And we see, as we look at this woman's testimony, she had just been saved. But we know, according to what she knew, that somebody else had carried on some planting here, because she knew the Messiah was coming. She was aware of that. Whenever the Messiah comes, he will be able to tell me all things. And so when Jesus himself harvested this soul, which he is the ultimate planter, harvester, and giving of the increase. We are just an instrument that he's using. He gives us the tools. He teaches us. Isn't it wonderful that he doesn't just hand us the tools, but he teaches us how. And he brings us through prayer. He brings us to the people that need to hear the gospel, that someone else has prepared the heart for. You know, there's nothing worse than opening the hood of a vehicle, a new vehicle today, and looking under that hood and having this hopeless, helpless feeling of not having any idea what to touch. And it's best not to touch anything, because it'll probably never run again if I would. And so you have to take it to someone that has been trained. Well, my friend, we have not only the tools, but we have the trainer. We have the Holy Spirit to teach us His Word, how to work and how to plant and how to prepare. And so not only does He give us the tools, but He gives us the teaching and the ability. Now, of course, that comes with the schooling, spending some time in the Word of God. If you don't spend time in the Word of God, you'll go out and not be prepared, not be ready. And so the Samaritan woman, she comes and she gives a testimony. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman. Now, how much preparation did this woman have? She had very little. She had very little. She had just talked to the Lord, and the Lord used her. So sometimes, my friend, it's to know that it's the power of God that does the saving, not us. Prepared, yes. Study His Word, yes. Know the Word of God, yes. But go when the teacher tells us to go, and do what the teacher tells us to do. This woman had everything against her when it comes to someone believing her that she had met the Christ. She was a very, very much a woman of the world. We'd call a very, very liberal woman of her day. And yet, God was able to use her because she just did the only thing she knew, and that was she used the words and says, "Come and see." We'll find that in the 29th verse. When she left the Lord Jesus, and she says, "Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" You see, she could have taken the other role. She could have been offended when Jesus told her of her life. She could have felt that he was judging her. But instead of that, the Spirit of God touched her heart, and she trusted in him. And then she went out to call others. Again, she doesn't know whether she's planting or harvesting, nor do we ever know. But we need to go and tell the truth. Tell the Word of God. Spoke with a man just yesterday that is saved, and he doesn't, because of the schedule of church, doesn't get to listen to the programs very often, does as often as he can. But he said, "I love the study, but most of all, I love to hear the introduction and I hear the end. It's time for the truth. What are you going to do about Jesus?" And he said, if that's all I hear, I know that the word was proclaimed. And if I just hear the beginning, it's time for the truth. He says, I know the truth is proclaimed. And when you finish this program, you're going to make one statement. And that is, what are you going to do about Jesus? And he said, there should never be a message preached that shouldn't start with that or end with that. Because that's what it's all about. What are you going to do about Jesus? She come to these folks that she knew very well. And because of her testimony, of the words that she said, simple words, "come and see," was words that the Lord used and brought many unto him. Again, many of the Samaritans believed. Verse 39 tells us. Verse 40. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. These Samaritans didn't want to just hear the gospel. These Samaritans want some teaching. They said, "Will you stay with us? Will you teach us?" They were hungry. They wanted the Word of God. And they desired that the great teacher, the Lord Jesus, would teach them the truths. Immediately they were hungry. All they had heard was "come and see." And they did. They had come before the Lord Jesus. You see, Jesus is always ready and always willing to spend time with us if we'll give him the time. If we'll give him the time, he always is there to teach us his way and his will. And it's important that we do. Whoever invites him in, he will come. But he always waits for the invitation. He always waits. He doesn't force his word upon us. He doesn't force his saving grace upon us. He comes. He shows us the truth. And the truth does two things. It shows us how filthy and how dirty we are and how much we need a Savior. And then it continues and shows us who that Savior is. The Lord Jesus. What a wonderful work our Lord does for us. We just need to invite Him in. If Jesus is not abiding in your house, if He is not abiding in your heart, it is not the Lord's fault. It's ours. We need to invite Him in. We need to invite Him in. He comes. He convicts our heart. He shows us the way to righteousness, to the Lord, to Himself for salvation. And we need to trust Him and invite Him in. We find that many more believed because of His own words. And He said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard Him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." The Jews, they didn't see any need to learn from the Lord Jesus. The Samaritans, on the other hand, desired to know and to hear from Him. And what a wonderful Bible conference, maybe one of the best Bible conferences that was ever held, was that 2 days in Samaria after they had heard from the woman, "Come and see." And they come on their own then to see the Lord and Savior. And they desired that He stay with him, and He stayed 2 days. What a great teaching. Nothing's really recorded about those 2 days. But we know our Lord, and we know that He desires that they know the truth. And they called upon Him to stay. And so some of this we can see. The Jews, again, come to condemn, not to learn, thinking maybe they had nothing more to learn because they had the word, they had the law, they had everything, and so what did they have to gain? So they would come and just criticize and condemn. But this group, these Samaritans, come to learn. And your life will be changed if you come to criticize and condemn. You're not going to grow. You're not going to experience the power of God. But if you come to learn. And it's not that I'm a good teacher. It's that the Holy Spirit comes and the Holy Spirit teaches. And so when we come, we need to come with our hearts open and prepared to learn. The saving of the lost. You know, when we take the gospel out, some could be saved during the church service. Some could be saved in any other time when someone hands a track or listens to the radio program or you get the opportunity to open your mouth and speak the gospel to someone and they're saved. Who knows when they'll be saved? You know, each one of us are different. I don't care if you're an identical twin, you're still different. Every person is different. Is God made? And every one of us has abilities and opportunities where we work, where we live. Our personality opens up to share to thousands or to share just one or two. Maybe you have the ability to sit down and write a letter to someone, and that letter just the Holy Spirit can use that and just pours out upon them and touches their heart. Every one of us have different ways, and here's the same way. Some were saved because the Samaritan woman come and said, you know, "He's told me everything that ever I did. Is this not the Christ?" And they believed. But some then came to the Lord Jesus Himself, and they believed when they saw the Lord Jesus. Some will be saved because of miracles. Some will be saved because of just hearing His word spoken. Sometimes you'll be able to say, you know, Jesus died for you, and you need to trust in Him today. And they would say, "Oh, yes, please, please help me so I can." or someone else, you may need to open the Word of God and show verse after verse after verse. Because depending on whether the seed was sown, or whether it's time for harvest, or whether you're just doing some of the cultivating as it's between harvest time, we need to realize that we need to open the Word of God to all that are around us and pray that they'll be saved. But don't duplicate what someone else is doing necessarily, because God has sent you. You know, oftentimes somebody will come and they'll say, you know, please will you come and share the gospel with a friend of mine or with my spouse or with someone, you know. And most of the time, and you may not want to hear this, but most of the time when the Lord has placed it on your heart to come and say to me, go see them, the Lord has placed on your heart to go see them, not that I should go. Many times the Lord uses each other to minister and to speak, but most often when we're the ones that are burdened, we're the ones that are to go. And so see that we do that and are faithful. The woman went to her family, to her friends, to the folks she knew, and they came and they believed. Some just followed and come to the Lord Jesus and were saved there. All souls are saved by grace through faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the tool, the instrument that is used to bring them can be as different as night and day, because we need to bring the gospel to all. And someone that I can't begin to share the gospel with, that they would not listen, very possibly you could speak to them and they would hear. And so we need to be busy about giving out the Word of God. We need to get our tool box open, get our tools out, and sit down and listen to the instructor as the instructor teaches us His way and His will. And He said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of thy sayings, for we have heard Him ourselves, and now that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world, now we believe, not because of your saying, for we have heard Him ourselves," as the Word says. Oh, if I could just see Jesus. Maybe that's a statement that you're making. You're here, you're lost, and well, if I could see Jesus, well, you can, because this is His living Word. And you can see Jesus just as clear here as these people of Samaria come to see Him bodily, physically. He is just as real, just as alive right here, because this is His living Word. And so as we speak it and say to those that are lost, you know, if I could just see Jesus, you can see Jesus. He's right here. He's right here. And please speak it. Speak it clearly. Just open His Word. Feed upon His Word. The more we dwell in His Word, the stronger that we become, the more fruit that we are able to produce. And when we produce more fruit, then we're more Christ-like with the love and the joy and the peace and the long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance that should come radiate from our lives comes from spending time opening up this toolbox and getting the tools out and being taught by the instructor. These Samaritans, they didn't become more saved when they saw Jesus, but they become stronger. Some, I'm sure, when they saw Jesus and heard His voice, were saved. But those that were saved, they come and they heard from the Lord Jesus. They heard His voice. That strengthened their faith. Well, it's the same thing when we go into the Word of God. The more we're in the Word of God, the stronger our faith will become, and the more we can walk with the Lord Jesus. And then we come to a statement that is not found any place else in the Gospels, and it was made by Samaritans. It was made by a multi-race. There wasn't just a mixture of Jews and one or two other lands, but there were many lands mixed up in these Samaritans, and that's the reason that the Jews hated them and despised them. And yet here is words that they spoke that the Jews should have spoken. the Jews should have been proclaiming from the start. Here is the Savior of the world. Well, as far as they were concerned, he was the Savior of the Jews only. They missed that. But it took a Samaritan. It took these Samaritans to speak a truth that will change all the world. And that truth is that he is Savior of the world, not of just the Jews, but of all the world. And what a statement. What a statement. Again, this should have been proclaimed, and that's the reason the Jews had to be set aside, because they were short-sighted. They had blinders on. They could not see beyond their own needs and their own traditions, and they would not accept the Lord Jesus as he being their Savior. And they were looking for a Savior. They were looking for the Messiah, but they were looking for a king. They were not looking for this a person that was not of a king, didn't come of a lowly birth and lived a very lowly life and walked this earth in a very humble form. They weren't ready for that. They were looking for someone to take the Roman rule away from them. Well, Jesus has come to take the sins away, and these Samaritans had experienced that saving power, and they pronounced Savior of the world. And what a statement. To be Savior of the world. Because when that statement went forward, that meant that it was going to come for you and for me. 30 years later, Paul makes a very similar statement in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Very similar. Doesn't matter if you're Greek, if you're a Jew or a Gentile, it doesn't matter. Because Jesus come to save the world. The world, and that means you and me. The Jews should be making the statement of the gospel. They should be the proclaimers. They were the ones that God chose to bring in the gospel and to share it with the world. But they were centered upon their righteousness, their own righteousness, the self-righteousness. So they missed it. Savior of the world. Now, after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. Now, this 2 days here, it's kind of interesting. Not often in the Word of God does he, you know, we have 3 days and three nights Jonah was in the belly of the fish. We have 3 days and three nights that the Lord Jesus was in the tomb, in the grave. Not often are their numbers spoken, but here it says it twice, two times. It was here in the verse 43, and also back in verse 40. So he stayed 2 days. He stayed 2 days. 2 days. He spent 2 days with the Gentiles. Now, when the year 2000. When the millennium rolled over, everybody was scared. They went and bought generators because the whole world is going to shut down. Well, many Bible teachers knew that we were very close to the time because, you know, the Lord made the heaven and earth in 7 days. And we have the scripture verse that tells us the Lord, you know, a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is 1 day. And so being that, the earth prior to the birth of the Lord Jesus, about 4,000 years old, we've lived 2,000 years, that's 6,000 years. And so we're getting ready for that seventh beginning of the of that period of seven, that 1,000 years that remains to complete the seven. We've had six. Seven would be the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And so, with that in mind, the church should be raptured. Well, you ever thought about this verse of Scripture? 2 days. 1,000 years is as 1 day. He's talking, Jesus, right here. We have his word. And so, 2 days, 1,000 years, each day, 2,000 years. He's got to be soon. Most people take the 7 days of creation and come to the, we're at the sixth day right now, entering the seventh, and the seventh be the millennial reign of Christ. So right now, past the Lord Jesus, 2 days, that's 2,000 years, here we are again, another place where we know Jesus is going to come soon, and we need to be ready. Is that what that means? I don't know. But isn't it something how twice he spoke those words there, and it does line right up with everything else that he tells us in his word. We know that it's soon. It's got to be soon. And you know, as these, it started with the one woman at the well, and now he has abode 2 days with the Samaritans, and they come, and they says, we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And again, recognize the importance of that, because a Jew never spoke those words. Savior of the Jews. They said Savior of the world. What an insight that they had over the, what the Jews should have had. Again, we have the 2 days, and we're going, and he went into Galilee there in verse 43. And for Jesus himself testified that a prophet had no honor in his own country. With the verse ahead and the verse after, that verse 44, it doesn't seem to really match. And so there is thought that he was discussing Nazareth. And that's the reason that he was going back to Galilee. They received him, according to the next verse. And so, and yet he says that the prophet has no honor in his own country. Why is that? Why is it that they, in his homeland there, that they would not accept him? Is it because he's just the carpenter's son? You know, it becomes the same here many times. You know, I'm just no farmer, born of a farmer. How can he tell us anything? How can he teach us anything? I've known him from when he was very little. It's not the person. It's the word. Now, will he listen? That's up to them. Will these people in Nazareth listen to the Lord Jesus? I hope so. Because he's speaking the truth. He is the Son of God. But most missed it. Because all they could see was this little boy with his dad growing up. What's special about him? He's God. That's what's special about him. We're proclaiming the Word of God. That's what makes this day so special. That we can open the Word of God and we can look at a woman that should have had no testimony at all. And yet she's changed the whole community, the whole land of Samaria, and brought these to the Lord Jesus, that they would make a statement knowing he is definitely Savior of the world. Is he your Savior? Have you trusted in him? Are you busy telling this great news? Do you enjoy telling people about the Lord Jesus? Whether you're planting or harvesting, doesn't matter. Do something so simple as this woman. Use those words. Just come and see. Just come and see. And see what happens the day you say, come and see. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you for your word today. I praise you for the opportunity to speak your word. And I ask that your word be heard. Your word. Take from mine and discard what is of no value and take what is of value of your words and touch the hearts of each one of us here today. It doesn't matter, Father, who does the speaking. It's that we respond to your teaching. Whether the teaching is of salvation, that we need to understand, first of all, that you are Savior of the world and trust in you as our Savior, or we need to depend on you as we go through the hymns that we've sung this morning and the trials and the tribulations that we go through, that if we just depend upon you and walk with you, you will see us through. Thank you, Father, for this great day, and thank you for this time that you've allowed us to come together. And please just touch every heart. Salvation where it's needed and necessary, and for growth and strength also where it's needed. And please speak to our hearts, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.